Hello,
Got
everyone.
it.
Welcome. Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the week's going ons in Apple, and I'm actually here. Not too bad, eh? It's a beautiful, warm day. It's stinking hot in the van. I've got the fan running, but it's okay. I can live with it. I fixed the electrics last night. it was an errant fuse error. So the electrician that had done the work had put a 3 amp fuse in instead of a 13 amp fuse. So that's why my pressure washer popped the system. And I've used the Kärcher pressure washer today. Oh my God, you've got to get one. It is power beyond belief, unlimited power. I'm not overstating it.
That's
You really
awesome.
should. You really should. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, Dave Ginsberg. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, weather here is actually cooling off. We in the United States has been getting pummeled around most of the country with all this heat wave, especially up in the Northwest with the 113 in Portland, Oregon, crazy times, but hanging in there.
Yeah, but Chicago is stinking humid anyway.
It depends. I've lived here all my life, so it all depends on what time of year. Right now, it's like it'll be like in the 70s, a nice cool breeze, and, but it'll start getting a little warmer. But
I went there once and it was stinking.
it must be a bad time of year.
Summer.
Out of here.
Not Alabama.
Yeah,
or Georgia.
Not Alabama levels of stinking hot.
Yeah.
No. Oh, Texas as well, actually. I did the Texas in the winter, and that was horrible in the
Texas.
winter, and I've never done it in the summer, and I'm glad I haven't. So
Oh, Texas in the summer is brutal.
yeah. Next to you, Patrice, hey there, Mrs.
Doing good, doing good. I'm like it's Friday. What can I say?
But hey, well, I'm in
Little bit of a
isolation, mate.
headache today, but I'm good.
I'm in isolation, so every day is Friday.
Oh, it's
Because tomorrow I'm going to work. Because the day after I'm going to work. The day after that I'm going to work. It's driving me mad. Day five today. I've got 10 days to do.
Oh no.
Yeah. The wife's in the garden digging her own grave, I think. Well, she thinks she's actually digging a new bed out, but
You may think she's digging her own grave. She knows exactly whose grave she's digging.
I
Oh,
hadn't thought of
yes.
that. That's a good point. I've got her down as a pacifist, you see. And I hadn't thought. Yeah. And next to Patrice, Jeff, how you doing, buddy? Finished up early then.
I did. Yeah, which was great. So it means I didn't have to miss a single minute of the show today.
Chuck's otherwise engaged, and Callum's working too damn hard. He needs to come on the show and relieve himself once in a while. Not relieve himself. That sounds like Pete. No.
Not on
It's
this
not that
one.
kind of show, you
No.
Get some light relief. Yeah. This show's. Oh, no. That's not getting worse. Okay, right. The week in Apple. All the stuff that's gone on. Big news, probably for a lot of you, is that the public beta of 12 is out, Monterey. If you want to knacker your computer and wish you'd never done it, now's the time. Has anyone installed it? Is anyone going to install it? I'm not putting it on, that's for sure. But I'll do the first install of the first finished version, but I'm not doing the public beta stuff like
Oh, I
that.
have a second. Oh, sorry.
I have
I have
the
a
dev
second.
beta
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Ladies
everywhere.
first. Ladies first. Ladies first,
I have the dev betas everywhere. Like I'm crazy like that. I install the dev betas day one on my productive systems.
God.
I have a backup always. Like I have a backup plan if something goes wrong, but usually it's okay. But I mean, I know what I'm doing. Like I would not recommend doing that to anybody else. Like it's me.
I'm just gutted that we had OS 10 for like 2 decades. And then they've done 11, 12 year after year. You're like, oh, come on. We'll be up to 99 before you know it.
Yeah, I mean, we would be at how far would we be, like 18 or something
Oh, and the
already?
rest. OS 10 must have been around. I'm not joking when I say decades. It's got to at
Yeah,
least be
was
10
it?
years.
I think that was it. Last version 10.16, something like
Yep.
that.
16
So,
years. There you go then.
yeah,
Is it
16.
1016 or 1015? I
forgot, but it's
No,
something.
10.
Yeah, I honestly can't
Catalina.
remember.
Catalina was the last one before
That's one of
Bixer.
those things where you need a rhyme to remember it.
No, I have it installed on a second. I have a second Mac Mini, M1, and it's been actually pretty fast. I've been pretty impressed with what they did with it so far. But it's gonna take a little getting used to it. I've been trying to put it in a virtual machine in Parallels, and I haven't had too much success. As soon as I do the upgrade, it it bombs out on me. So but that's the way it goes. But I did dabble in outside the Apple world and then did Windows 11 in parallel. So look at that. How crazy I am.
At 10.16 with the ocean blue, that's the version Tim Cook killed for you.
10.16. So 16 versions and then the two we have now. So we would at least be at 18 already. So.
I just put 35. It on an external SSD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been the smart choice, Jeff, but I just installed it. And then realized that I needed audio hijack.
Fear to tread.
Yeah, and then I realized I needed an audio hijack. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I realized it before I tried it. Like I knew it wouldn't work. Like it's just
what's stuff. Yeah, what's the list of software like? Because I mean it's a standard period, I guess, where everyone goes, oh, it doesn't work with so-and-so. And they go, hang on, give them a chance, let the developers catch up. But
you know, we're printing beta software. Exactly. Don't flip out when your favorite app or utility doesn't work.
Yeah.
I expected everything to break, like every single app. And for the most part, I mean, Audio Hijack is kind of special, like all the Rogamipa things, because they go so deep into the system.
Well, you're the relevant developer here, though, Patrice. So I'm just wondering, because there was a genuine step change from 10 to 11. There's a genuine step change from Leopard Panther, you know, from Panther to Leopard, and all that kind of stuff. So the back end change. Has the back end changed that much that 12 is a proper evolution of 11?
It is an evolution. There are some APIs, some things that broke and some things that changed. But for the most part, Apple has been traditionally pretty good at keeping things running.
There was a lot through 10 where the architecture stayed the same. So it kind of followed that drivers, et cetera, would go along with it.
Yeah. And it always depends on the app. Like, I mean, if you do like an iOS, if you do standard things with like standard Apple APIs and standard controls, you don't do anything crazy. Then there's a good chance it's going to work even through the betas, because like Apple is pretty good at keeping things running and making sure that nothing just breaks too crazily. If you do, like if you're more advanced or you have like your own custom stuff left, right and center, well, then it might break because that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
So as I said, I expected every app to break, and Rogamipa is the one that I forgot about. But I'm not complaining about it. Like I knew I had a backup plan. I have this machine, so like, better for me.
Yeah, no, it's a risk.
And, it was fun.
Bob's saying no Monterey for him. Not got a spare Mac. But he has installed OS 15 for iPad. Mm-hmm. And it seems very stable. Jeff's agreeing.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And Paul Scott was suggesting in the Slack room whether should do it or not. So,
as I said, I wouldn't recommend it there. There are some apps that I've seen that simply, as I said, haven't been updated and just don't work. So
yeah, I mean, I did it once with a public beta and it took me ages to claw it off and put the new one on, and it's just I can't be doing this again.
Yeah.
So I'm not that involved. Yeah. I'm not that invested.
Yeah. And even me, I mean, I installed it on my iPad first, checked the most important apps that I cared about, and only then installed it on the phone. Like, I made sure that the things that I really cared about, I mean, if they had broken, I would have been like, okay, whoever, who cares? But I made sure that the most critical things for me still work.
Bob's put something sensible. I like the improved multitasking. It has features which have been there from the start. And Rob's put, I've not tried any updates since I switched to Windows. Wanker.
Okay. Good one for a Mac show.
Now, read the next bit.
In his defense, he did say that he got used to having instability now that he's on Windows.
There's no point unless I selectively say what he said or didn't say, because that's the humor of it.
I totally just ruined it for you. I'm
exactly
sorry.
That's like telling them. That's like explaining how you did the card trick, Jeff. Jesus.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is coming, Windows 11. Is coming to Mac. According to Parallels Desktop, they're saying that Windows 11 is coming to Mac. There shouldn't be any issues at all for them to port it over. My question is going to be whether Parallels Desktop can run it on the M1 architecture.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it should, but because it's not a boot, is it? It's an M1 program that's running an internal OS. So I'm guessing that that this is a possible. And there's a little thought I had here. My daughter is currently going on and on and on about having a PC. And Ellis's PC was $2,000. Kieran's PC was $2,000. And he got a Ryzen 9 in it and, you know, the 6500 graphics card. And I'm sitting thinking, I reckon my M1 Mac Mini is more powerful than your machine, lad.
I mean, what I don't know, I mean, it's going to run the ARM version of Windows. The question is,
right,
did Microsoft introduce something like Rosetta for x86? Because otherwise the applications won't run at all. Like, that won't help.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. I mean, is it gonna, it has to be an ARM processor, and I don't know Windows 11 is ready for that yet.
Yeah. As far as I know, currently at least, there is no way to run x86 other than Rosetta. There's no way to run x86 operating systems on an M1 Mac. Like, neither on Linux nor Windows.
Not as a boot, but can you run them as a...
No, even in a virtual machine, because it has to run x86 code, and it can't.
Okay.
Maybe Parallel figured something out, but at least I remember that the last thing they said was they can't do it. Like, it's simply not doable.
I'm just sitting thinking that if I know, you know, Apple have got their own agendas, and I get that. But if they could allow Windows to run in a virtual machine on Mac, that could kill the PC market. The Apple could really take a massive foothold here, because their machines are so powerful in comparison.
I mean, it is possible. I think it's just a matter of time. But from what I understood from Parallels, right now, simply macOS does not have the hooks that they would need to do it. Yeah. It should be possible in the future. But on the other hand, for Microsoft, it is more important that they have something like Rosetta, because they have a lot of apps that otherwise would need to be ported.
Bob's pulled me back and said, Apple's not going to kill the PC market. No, I know that. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is there's a serious dent there. There's people like me going, I really love a PC for gaming. Actually, why? I can buy an £800 Mac for gaming. That's probably going to be better than a £2,000 PC for gaming, £2,000 PC.
Yeah.
And for years in the PC world, people have been saying, if you want to buy the best portable Windows machine, get a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
With Boot Camp.
Yeah, no, I remember when Tom was doing CNET, the Daily Show with IaaS and all that, and I said, I was listening to one, and he said, oh, you bought a new PC? Yeah, what have you bought? And I bought a 16-inch or 15-inch MacBook Pro. I'm like, but that's a Mac. And went, no, I just run Windows on it. It's the best computer to run a Mac on, to run Windows on. To run Windows on, yeah, that's it. Now Apple too expensive, and Ryzen Threadripper are the most powerful chips in the world. They're not too expensive, Molly. You're out of date, mate. I'm telling you, this M1, I've got a £6,500 PC that doesn't even touch this M1 by 40%.
And we have not seen, I mean, that's kind of like you're comparing, like, I don't know, a Ferrari with a Fiat 500. From a power perspective. The Ferrari is the Ryzen, or like the high-end Intels that need a crazy amount of power. The M1 is running so low power that if Apple scaled that up, it would be way more powerful.
Yeah.
It does at, like, I think 20 watts or something. It does the same that an Intel chip does at 100. Or even more, actually.
To be fair, though, Ewan, you had a top-of-the-range 7-year-old Mac versus next-gen stuff. I can't see many serious gamers switching to Mac, even with Apple Silicon, unless they are able to upgrade with better graphics cards, etc. I don't know, Rob. I mean, I don't want anything that's super powerful. I'd love to be able to do a bit of VR. I mean, I love me F1 driving, and I'd love a PC gaming platform where I could use virtual, you know, the Rift S or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could do it using the Mac Mini in a virtual environment, I am over the moon.
As I said, I'm relatively certain it will come. It might just take like a little while.
Yeah. No, I hope it does, because it's it'd be well worth it. Apple camps are coming back for kids in the summer.
Nice.
That's a good thing. There's going to be a limited number, and there will be limited on numbers of people that can go, as in 8 to 12s, because of the fact of social distancing, that kind of stuff. Mm. But there'll be a few of them coming, certainly at the big sites like San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. No confirmation on whether it's going to come anywhere else in the world. It might be just America at this moment, but... there's a good possibility that we might be able to get something. Who knows? I think the summer camps have been a real good initiative. I remember enrolling Ellis in one, and he came back and he was absolutely buzzing afterwards. He loved it. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first ones that they did in the UK.
I asked my kids and they didn't care.
Oh,
they were like, no.
Second.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen these blankets, the throw boy blankets? Oh, I'll put the link in the chat room. Hang on. They are superb. I want some. I think Sharon's going to be upset if they do a double duvet set. She might not let me use it. but it's if you loved your old System 6 and that kind of stuff, you're going to absolutely adore these. It's a set of blankets and pillows that are just effectively grey or blue or old operating systems. With a window, with a menu at the top, and then a hard drive in the top right corner. They look stunning. I love them to bits. I definitely want one. I'd give those to my kids and go, this is the coolest thing ever. And they go, what?
What is that?
These are actually pretty awesome.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think so.
OS throw blankets can be purchased from the Throwboy website for $46.99. So the money is saved on your Android phone there, Jeff.
There we go.
It's gone.
Muller wants to know if the trash cans come with the Trash Panda. No, because the Trash Pandas will just take everything, and then you don't even have a blanket.
See, now this is exactly Bob. Bob's going, there's no way I'd be allowed to buy those. That translates to, Christ, I want one of these.
Sounds like it.
That's exactly what
Bob's just typed. Bloody hell, I want one of these.
No, not just one.
They have a 10. Game Boy blanket.
Where's
so
that?
Maybe Bob Beach could buy that.
You're on the website.
That would be the compromise.
Throwboy.com. Mm-hmm. Throw blankets. Oh, they've got the old Mac, the old Finder symbol.
Oh, yeah. They have
an SE. A cassette. Yeah. That's cool. A gramophone record, YouTube, a videotape, VHS throw blanket. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get
turntable.
I'm going to get that for Ellis for his birthday. He's going to go, what's this? It's what we used to watch porn on, son.
That's funny.
Sorry, not my things. You're a grumpy old bastard these days, Rob. Come on. Apple and Amazon under investigation in Spain for possible anti-competitive practices. This is relating to the sale of Apple products and Amazon as well. Independent consumer interest body said that it accessed certain information from which it was found rational indications that Amazon and Apple are in breach of laws relating to defense of competition and the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union. Specifically, possible unlawful contact would consist of an agreement between both groups. There's the part, the collusion, that would include possible restrictions on the Amazon website in Spain regarding retail of Apple products by third parties, certain advertising of competing Apple products, and certain campaigns directed at Apple customers by Amazon, and other commercial restrictions.
So if Amazon had done it on their own, it would be fine, but because they agreed both on it...
There's a collusion, yeah. No, that's,
I can see that.
The collusion, that's the thing that gets you every time. And you think Apple would know by now, don't do the collusion thing. It's going to bite them in the ass.
That is a real cheap seats kind of tactic. And I remember when I did have a problem with my MacBook Pro years ago, and I took it into Apple. I was part of a joint venture, and they said, oh, we'll give you a machine free. So they gave me a machine, and I took the hard disk out of it, and... because I knew the hard disk wasn't faulty, and I just mounted it and I booted off that external hard disk for the new machine. So I never actually put anything on there anyway. And then I went back and I put it in. We've replaced the logic board. So that's 450 quid, please. And I was just like, what about the 2-year European warranty? Yep. Okay. So that's free. What? I've just been.
So you had to ask them to honor the warranty before they would?
They wanted to charge me 450 quid. And then I mentioned the European warranty and they went, yep, that's fine. Here you go.
Wow.
I just had expectations. They're a little bit higher of an ethic from them. I really did. It was a seminal moment where I fell out of love a little bit with Apple, I have to say.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking about this Amazon thing. Like, I mean, I can understand it from like a legal perspective to say, I mean, basically you're barring anybody else to sell Apple products.
But Apple's products are good. Apple's advertising is brilliant. The way that they put things over, the way that they make people want their products, the aspirational elements of Apple products are good. They don't need to do this kind of silly, niggly shit. They don't have to get in the gutter with people. This tactic has not sold them one more unit over another.
Yeah, especially since usually the retail partners don't get good prices either, so they can't beat Apple's prices usually, not by much, like it's rare.
I don't get it. Must be a local thing because there's no way this is coming down from the top in Cupertino. They wouldn't go to this. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, could be the local Spanish organization. I'm just thinking about it. I mean, what would be the
not that we're slagging off Spaniards? You understand? We're not slagging off Spaniards.
What would be the equivalent in a store? Like you have a physical store, like let's say Best Buy or whatever, doesn't matter, some electronics. And they basically cannot sell any other Apple products.
Can I buy a new phone, please? Yeah, we've got an iPhone right here, sir. But the phone's over there. No, there isn't. You're not seeing them. They're not there. No. This is the phone you want.
Well, no, only Apple products. Like nobody else would be able to sell Apple products through Best Buy. Only Apple can do that. I would say that's fine. Like, I mean, it's different. Like physical stores are to some extent different. But
who would buy more? Does he mean Best Buy?
Buy more is a fictional. That's what Best Buy is called quite a bit.
Buy more. Right, okay. Yeah.
I think it's a fictional store from, what was it, Chuck, I think was the
Chuck, name. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. The Buy More, the local Buy More. Yeah, but it's Best Buy,
great,
you can tell.
That was a great show.
It was. Well, that's
no, it was. I obviously wasn't there for that.
It was pretty spot on in the day.
Yeah, in the day.
Yeah, yeah. No, they did a lot of good stuff. I mean, I went there, I remember going in this when I was over working in America. I'd go into the Best Buy and just fill my boots on DVDs, the CDs and that kind of stuff. And I had a separate DVD drive over here that just did version one discs and that kind of stuff. So
no, Best Buy is great. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Best Buy now is the place to go for open box deals on Apple products.
Mm-hmm. I bought a lot of open box stuff overall.
Open box everything. Yeah. TVs. I've bought open box TVs there.
And in many cases, the only part of the open box that's actually truly open box is the tape seal on the box has been broken. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I bought a Magic Trackpad 2 for, I'm going to say, $70.
Yep.
And the only thing that was wrong with it was that the shrink wrap on the outside of the box was missing.
Really? Yeah. It was brand newer than that.
It was totally brand new. All the interior packaging was still completely intact.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't sell it new.
You and shipped boots to me for free. Well, I mean, no shipping charges.
Is Muller typing in a different language? Because what about my boots being very... I don't get that.
Oh, you said you filled your boots.
He's stoned. That's
fill my boots, right.
Okay. Muller's just stoned right now.
Well, that's probably true, yeah.
Fill your boots. Apple is developing hybrid retail flex working from home for Apple Store employees. What?
Wasn't that
this makes no sense already, to me?
No, didn't they already do it during the pandemic? I think they did that. Yeah. Where they closed the stores and the employees worked for like support or whatever.
This is a new story. No, this is a new story yesterday. Apple's developing a hybrid work model for its retail employees that would allow them to work from home.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of online sales, so.
It may sound unusual for retail employees to work from home, but in this case, it means that workers would be able to take on at-home support shifts in addition to their in-store hours.
Okay, so they're basically continuing what they already did, but now it's official.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the fact that someone's posted it, but they posted a completely empty Apple store in there. Like everyone's working from home. Help yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an honor system now.
That's like exactly. You just go in, pick up, leave. Like, we don't need employees.
So you picked up an iPhone. Yeah, but it's only 16 gig. Honest.
Mm-hmm. And it only costs $5.
Oh, it's just a cable.
That's what the assistant said to me. What? There's no one here. Yeah. As I said, they did that during the pandemic, so I was kind of...
Corporate employees are really happy about this now that they're being told they have to go back to the office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Super happy. Yeah, I mean,
well,
to be
September,
fair,
they're saying
hybrid.
That they've got to go back to Cupertino, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least, what was it, 2 days a week or something?
Yeah, and there's been complaints from Apple employees saying they're not ready for it, but you've got to go back. It's. I mean, we're having a big debate at the moment here in the UK about whether it's time to relieve us of all of our controls. So the 19th, they're going to make a decision about if we're going to do it. But the hard part is you've got to say, well, if you release all controls, people are still going to die, but not enough to make a difference to the rest of the population. And that's a real bastard statement to make, but there kind of is that, you know, the rest of us have got to get on with it.
I mean, the truth is, and I mean, I see that with even my team and my company, it works better. Like for a lot of people, it works way better to work from home.
Yeah.
Our productivity has gone up like crazy.
Yeah. Same. And I mean, I've seen it within customers. They've said they've got 25% increase in contract staff productivity by letting them work at home. And, Rail, for example, have changed their contracts.
Yeah. And so. I think the world has simply changed. Like, it's more flexible. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that you never go into the office. I mean, if that's something for you, like I wouldn't want to work fully remote. Like, I like to come in every now and then. Like, that's fine. Like, meet up with people.
It's the future of work. That's what a lot of companies are starting to analyze and look at and see how we work in the future, and whether it be hybrid, whether it be, you know, in the office all the time, whether you're in 3 days a week. I mean, I think a lot of companies are starting to start analyzing that.
Yeah. I mean, they're simply seeing like in the last year that like it can work.
I love working from home, but now I'm trapped at home. I hate it.
Yeah. And I think that's the point. Like, The having the ability to come back is a good thing, even if you don't do it every day. Like, I mean,
well, I've had to go back. Yeah. I mean, we're still not fully in our office yet, but I've had to go back only because I have to image laptops and I can't do that from home.
That's where they're not.
That's hard.
And they're there as well as I can't get access to our network in order to have an appliance in my home to be able to image a laptop. So,
yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. Like, so we've had people in the office the entire time because certain jobs simply required it. Like, it's totally, totally different, but there are so many jobs that, like, you can do from your home. Like, any development job, honestly, like, it's really rare that you have to come in. I mean, other than if you're working with hardware again, like, if you're developing software for, like, I don't know, a microscope or something.
But even if you were talking about the spitballing thing, you know, you can spitball remotely dead easily. Zoom has been brilliant. And Teams has been absolutely fantastic.
You do lose some things. So it is sometimes good to have. I mean, that's something I've worked with remote teams around the world. There comes a point where it's more efficient to meet up, but it doesn't have to be every day. Like if you meet up, I don't know, once a quarter.
I think
every
no one's,
6 months.
No one's cracked the whiteboard yet. If it's the minute that someone cracks the whiteboard properly in a meeting, so we're sitting here now, I open up a whiteboard, we can all write on it. that's where the game changes, and that's not been done properly yet at all.
Well, we're very close to that.
Yeah.
It's the thing that you lose is to some extent the human interactions.
That's and big.
To
big,
some extent, yep. At least.
That's huge. So you're not there, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go to the pub virtually. That just doesn't work all that well.
I can't go to the pub at all.
Well, yeah, that's it.
I was supposed to go out on two drinking sessions yesterday.
No.
That just breaks my heart, Ewan.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe I'll have to go out and have a drink for you today.
Well, I bought some glasses. I like playing pool. I play in a 9-ball pool league on a Wednesday night. I really enjoy my pool, but I've really been struggling with my eyesight. So my hoys are great, but the problem is that I can't see when I'm down on the chin on the cue. Mm-hmm. So I've bought some glasses that are like this, so I can only see through the top when I get down on the cue. And they've arrived, and I can't go out and try them.
No.
Massively reduced commuting could presumably have a big impact on emissions, which we desperately need as well. Yeah, good point, Bob. Yeah, I've got to say that the commuter's got to go for vehicles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
LED suppliers have been brought on board for Apple. There is a definite increase in need for 12.9-inch iPad Pro models, and they're suggesting that a redesigned 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pro is going to be out in September, along with a new iPad Air and new AirPods as well as.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
I would have thought that the MacBook Pro would be a shoo-in, really, because the M1's been, you know, trialed in smaller machines, the Air and the Mac Mini, and it's absolutely crushed it. So it's time to elevate it up to the bigger machine, surely. Yeah. They're still showing on Digitime, they're still showing the M2 chip, which I don't believe there's ever going to be an M2 yet.
I think
that Apple has something planned because they need more buses. For the MacBook Pro and the Mac Pro. So it's either going to be dual M1s so that they can have multiple buses running off each chip, or an M1X that adds in extra buses.
And whether they call it M1X or M2 really doesn't matter.
No. Bob's saying got to be new Mac Pros this year, but what about a larger iMac as well?
Very likely. That's kind of the I would call it the pro machines. The larger iMac, the bigger MacBook Pro, at some point the Mac Pro. Apple has said they're going to replace it, and I mean it has to happen in the next. Well, if they keep their timetable, the next what is that 14 months?
Yeah.
Announced in September, yeah.
I think that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. If I was restricted to an office, I'd be upset that I bought the Mac Mini and not the iMac. Because it would be permanently on the desk and I would permanently be using it and it'd be great. But because I'm using this in the van and I've just got to pull the cables out and run in the house with it, I'm really over the moon. I got the Mac Mini and not the the Mac Pro. The iMac, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, it's going to happen. The time frame is right. I'm almost convinced that because of the whole chip shortage thing, they couldn't release it. I think they wanted to release it earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
No, definitely.
That would make sense.
Yeah. It's coming. Like this. I mean, we don't know. Apple might just kill a device. They could, but I don't see a good enough reason why. Like they're selling like hotcakes right now, so why would they kill any of them?
Bob's saving up to replace his 27-inch iMac with the new 30-inch iMac, which I don't think that's going to come, with an M chip.
It would be nice back to the old 30-inch cinema display. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got a cinema display, and I adore it. Display. It still is. I've got mine's got to be 10 plus years old, and it's still a beautiful, beautiful display. Yeah.
How long have they not sold the 30-inch? That must be more than 10 years.
Yeah, I've
probably got time.
Mine's got the full thing with the little logo on the bottom and everything, and it's still absolutely peachy. Stunning display.
I'm still sporting the 27-inch, the Thunderbolt display that's now considered obsolete. And I'm looking at it right now, and it's still gorgeous, gorgeous monitor for its age.
That came out, I want to say, 2010 or 2011. the Thunderbolt display. And that's when they stopped selling the old maybe. One. So at least 10 years.
Yeah. My, I'm going to say 2008, actually. But okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. Sounds about right.
No,
I definitely do remember like 2006, 2007. I had a couple of professors that had like two of them on the desk.
Yeah.
Two of them and a massive Mac Pro. All of them. Like all 12 professors had that.
Yeah, I've still got the Mac Pro cheese grater that Don McAllister gave me to run the shows on. Came up for the bash. It was one of the it was the big rainy bash that we had, and I'd got a Hackintosh running all the shows, and he went, "You can't have that." So he sent me his old Mac Pro, cheese grater Mac Pro. And I've still got it. It still runs. Mm-hmm. It's still got drives in it with data on it. That I still use.
I remember that one.
Yeah, Bob Beach has still got his 27-inch Thunderbolt. Works great.
Yep. Super. I think it's a cable. So.
Well, no, the only problem you've got now is that Thunderbolt doesn't fit sod all. You've got to buy adapters, 45-pin adapters to go to USB-C and stuff. So
I've got the Thunderbolt 2 to Thunderbolt 3 adapter on it. So.
This podcast, all this is brought to you by TSO Hosts. We have a great relationship with them. We've got an ongoing relationship with them. We're hoping to expand that relationship soon. Wait until Sarah comes back from Portugal when she's allowed. And we'll have lunch someday in London and discuss what the next steps are. But they've looked after us wonderfully now for several years, and we can't thank them enough. Please make sure you thank them for looking after us. So get yourself out on the Twitters. If you're a listener to this show, you must get out on the social medias and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting that British Tech, because that's all they want from you. If you haven't done that, then please do it. And also, if you want anything off your hosting services from them, use the off code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off as well, as which is very generous. And also, IMN Max, we love them. They look after us. We normally get one of our guests is an IMN Max mod, Callum, but they're not around at the moment. They do anything that you've got with an Apple logo on it that's dysfunctional in any kind of way, they will fix it for you. Simply send it to them. They will repair it and they will get it back to you and give you a bill. And if they can't repair it, they'll still get it back to you and there won't be a bill. They're really top hole people, really good at work ethic and a good spirit within our community. You must use the offer code for them, BTN. You've got to mention BTN with any of the jobs that you send through to them. There's been a lot of people who have sent jobs through, and I've only found out through it through like a circuitous route. Make sure you say BTN, A, because it gets us the credit for the fact that we are supporting them, and we do need that credit for us, but also it makes sure that you get your 5% off. So there's 5% off any repairs that are done with them because of the use of the word BTN. So make sure you mention it, please, 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 as you go forwards. Right. Muller Biker is off to buy American Tech Network.
but he's not buying .com.
Chuck got .com.
He's buying
.co.uk.
Chuck owns .com. He bought him when we talked about that.
Bloody hell. Good lad. I look forward to appearing on there and taking over. Dave, have you got a cool thingy?
Yeah, I have this cool program. It's a company called Folge, F-O-L-G-E. Okay. And they are similar to like a Snagit, or being able to create step-by-step guides. And you create the visual guides, tutorials in a matter of minutes.
Build his boots on this.
Yeah.
Mr. How-To.
Yeah, they've made it really easy, and it's a Mac app, of course, and you select an area, continue to work as usual. You create custom guides, and it does a really good job. It's a very lightweight application, not too terribly expensive either. I think it's like they're from Germany, so they have euro and US dollar. So euro, it's 55 euro, and US, it's $66. It's a personal license, and it's a lifetime license for Mac or Windows, if you so choose. They do a good job exporting a lot of the different formats, and I've been using it for a little while, and I got a license for it, and it's like, it's pretty neat, a good alternative to some of the big boys, and a small little developer. I always like to support these small developers too.
And it's German.
It's German, yes.
Now the names make sense.
Folge mir.
Folge mir.
Folge mir. Follow me.
Yep. Okay. Follow me. And that they have that's their website. Follow me. Dot me. Mm-hmm. There we go. So cool app. I thought I like it.
It looks pretty good actually. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it's if you know what I mean, I do a lot with screen capture anyway, so and screen capture is kind of what it's doing here, but it just seems to be doing it a little bit more intuitively, a little bit better.
Yeah. Developer's very responsive, so if you have any issues, you can respond right back to them, and they have it set up kind of like a database. So once you send up your license, it's in his database, and then you'll have the license for life. So
nice.
Cool. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So my cool thing is, well, it is included in your subscription if you have a fantastic subscription, and that is CardHub. CardHub is a really nice contacts app. And I mean, it doesn't sound particularly interesting to have a contacts app. I mean, macOS comes with one and it works. But this one, I mean, it's really good. Like the contacts app does the job, but it's not like the nicest experience. It's hard to search sometimes and has a lot of issues. And Fantastical, our Flexibits, has had CardHub for a couple of years, I think. And they recently included the premium version in their subscription. So if you have a Fantastical 2 Pro or whatever it's called version, you already get it. There is a free version. Like if you only need basic CardHub things, you get it for free. But what I really like is, for example, you can export a version of your contact card. If you want to send it to someone, but you don't want to include, like, I don't know, 15 different phone numbers, you can select what you want to export and then send it kind of as a business card. So I really like that. And it's a small app, runs on your Mac, does the job. Looks really nice. Yeah, Fantastical. You can do some advanced things. Like you can say, oh, I want to call blah, blah, blah. Like basically what they do with Fantastical, when you can have natural text input, you can also do with CardHub. So, works.
I'm a big CardHub fan, and it's my contact manager on my Mac and my iPhone and iPad. And I'm liking in the new version how you can set up relationships between people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier for me to keep track of who knows who and who's related to who.
Yeah,
it's an awesome tool.
Yeah, and they have full support for like Exchange and everything. If you have corporate, corporate address books or whatever, it includes all of that.
Cool, Jeffrey. What's your cool thing?
My cool thing, which as I'm dropping this into the chat, I'm realizing I think I've picked this before.
Love that app,
Text Sniper. So what it is a text capture tool for your Mac. Instead of just doing regular copy of text, it lets you grab any text, even if it's a graphic, and then it does the text recognition and converts it into editable text for you. And this is one of those tools that when I first got it, I thought, yeah, this will come in handy every now and then. I can't believe how many times every single week I use this to grab text that should be copyable, but isn't.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely awesome. Bob Beach says, won't live text Sherlock this? And the answer is no, it will not. Okay. Because live text is a thing for your iPhone or your iPad.
Works on Mac too.
Oh, it does work on your Mac too? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you can do with TechSniper that goes beyond this. So I see it in the same space as, say, like 1Password or Text Expander, where you have a basic function built into the operating system. But if you want to do more than what the basic thing is, then there's that commercial app out there for you. Yeah.
Or if you don't have an
M1 Mac, there you go. Yeah. So it's $6.99 and it's part of SetApp.
Wow.
SetApp. I just scroll. I did it with Dave's pick as well. It's just like, as soon as you goose put a pick in for an app, it's just like scroll to the bottom, see if it's set up, see if it's set up. See if it's set up. Yes, get in.
I wish it was. It isn't.
Yeah, no, I've just installed that, but it won't open at the minute. So I guess it's because something else is running that's compromising it. Never mind. Good pick, mate. Like that a lot. My cool thing would be a cartridge pressure washer, and I could tie it in because it has got an iPhone app, but I'm not going to. I've got an Xbox. So in the van now, I've got my Xbox as well, and I've brought up my steering wheel. So I've got my Logitech force feedback steering wheel. I thought, I'll have that. That'd be great. And then I thought, I'll see if I can work on my Mac, because I read somewhere that it works on your Mac. And it does work on your Mac. If you plug it into your Mac, it will work. But if you wouldn't need, but you'll need to get the Logitech drivers. Now, if you're running anything on 32-bit, you're fine. But if it's 64-bit, the app doesn't work. The drivers doesn't work. So I then had a little route around, and Feral Interactive, who make the F1 game and who make the Dirt game, the Rally Championship, Colin McRae's Dirt, they do the game for Mac. So I downloaded F1 2016, and in there the drivers are included for the steering wheel. So it means you can play Dirt and you can play 2016 F1 using your force-back steering wheel. It doesn't do force feedback. That's the only negative. Mm. But it works apart from that. And I don't know if I need to do a little test, but I think that might have installed compatible drivers within the OS. So it means that I think I can run it on other games. So I'll check this week. What model Logitech is it? It's the G920. Yes. But apparently, if you've got the G920 for PS4 or for Xbox, both of them will run on Mac and both of them will run on PC. They just won't run on each other's platforms. So why that is, I don't know. Where can we get a hold of you, Davey?
Get a hold of me at intouchwithios@intouchwithios.com. Patrice and Jeff are both going to be on the show. Patrice, first time guest next week. I'm looking forward to that. And here on the Mac show, and is also on Mac Voices Live, usually on Tuesday nights, but Chuck decided to take vacation for the next 2 weeks. So we're going to be off. Mac to the Future Go Live cast with Guy Cyril and my co-host Warren on Wednesday nights. And you can find me on Twitter, DaveG65. Thanks.
Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays and Fridays on the Mac Show. Everything I do, all the social media links and projects, and if you want to buy me a coffee, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to very interesting people about food and just everything that goes with it. And I had the immense pleasure of talking to David about all the food and all the restaurants and everything that's good in the Chicago area. So if you have never been, or if you're in the area and you don't know where to go, listen to that episode and you probably will, you will have places to go for the next 5 years, probably.
Bob's just said there's 35% off my steering wheel at Amazon. Damn! It's not a cheap, it's not a cheap steering wheel though, anyway, so... Hmm. I've got the stick shifter as well with it. The stick shifter is brilliant when you're using Assetto Corsa. That's a good price, mate. That's 130 quid less than I paid for it. Yeah. Well done. And Jeff, where would you be?
Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut on both. And on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JayGamut. And Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show. Most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. Last night, In Touch with iOS. And again next week. I'm looking forward to next week's episode. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I did Apple Context Machine this week. So Google me. I get around.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Don't forget to support Carl Swagger. We need some donations, please, for the news show. We pay him every month to do that, and we're slowly dwindling on funds. We could really do with a surge. If anyone could dib in, that would be wonderful. Thank you. And keep us going. You can donate to any of the pages where the website shows the podcast episode. Back again next week, a Thursday and Friday, as normal. I'm released on Thursday, however. So who knows what that holds for me, because I might go wild. Have a great weekend. I won't. Thanks for listening.
Ewan, I think what that holds for you is liver damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.